The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th and 10th chapters. Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother; James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother; Philip and Bartholomew; Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector; James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus; Simon, the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without paying." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let me see. The Lord spoke to Ezekiel and said, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, 'Thus says the Lord Yahweh: Ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat. You clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened. The sick you have not healed. The injured you have not bound up. The strayed you have not brought back. The lost you have not sought." So they were scattered. My sheep were scattered all over the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. Thus says the Lord Yahweh, "Behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them. I will feed them with good pasture. They shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord Yahweh. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak." Today's text shows that the Lord kept his promise. Matthew records that Jesus went throughout all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. These words describing Jesus' ministry are wonderfully comforting and reassuring, especially when we consider them in the light of God's Old Testament promises to come and personally shepherd his sheep. It's very clear that Jesus is profoundly concerned about the hardships and difficulties that people face in life. He didn't float above the concerns of the people as if the only thing important was his own agenda. Quite the contrary. His heart went out to the people. Their needs, their helplessness, their lostness, their sicknesses and anguish in their lives moved him. Providing what the people needed was his agenda. Reaching out to them and providing what they didn't have, what they couldn't get, was what his life, and indeed his death, was all about. He wasn't a distant savior who only cared about the results of sin in some big picture way. He understood and was concerned about each individual person suffering under sin's crushing load. Today we would call his a holistic caring. Jesus' concern extends to the whole person. He directs his power not only to their spiritual needs, but to their physical and emotional requirements as well. This reading reveals, as so many others in the Gospels, his love and compassion for the whole person. No worry or hardship was beyond his capacity for concern or ability and willingness to help. The people's neediness is what drew Jesus to them. Their helplessness was what moved him to reach out to them in compassion, showering them with mercy and grace, showing them steadfast love and faithfulness, giving them the help they so desperately needed. But he didn't stop with just doing things himself. As he saw those great crowds, and as his heart went out to all those people, Jesus enlisted those he had gathered as his followers to join with him in compassionate helping. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Did you notice anything sort of strange about these words? Having just described an enormous task, one that was very urgent, the harvesting of souls, the bringing of people into God's kingdom, Jesus doesn't tell the disciples to get out there into the harvest. He tells them instead to pray. That sounds almost as if he's saying, there's lots of work, so don't just do something, stand there. But his apparently strange instruction teaches the disciples and us that there is a Lord of the harvest. This immense task isn't one that is simply dropped on the disciples' doorstep. It's one that is in God's hands and continues under his control. Jesus is saying, because the harvest is so huge, depend on the Lord of the harvest. Look to him to provide workers. Trust that he will enlist everyone who is needed in order to get the job completed. You've probably heard someone suggest, when all else fails, pray. In view of what Jesus says here, it seems that far better counsel would be, before you do anything, pray. God's guidance and direction, the strength and support he is eager to provide, are things we should constantly seek. Certainly when it comes to the Lord's harvest, the sharing of his all-embracing love and compassion with those who so desperately need them, but truly in everything that God's people do, it is important that they look to him and depend on and learn from him. It would be impossible to live as one of his people without this kind of active trust Trust that is expressed and revealed in prayer, that looks to the Lord for guidance and direction. The next thing Matthew records is Jesus answering his disciples' prayer. In response to their prayer, he equips the 12 to do what he had been doing. No longer would they be merely his disciples, that is, his students, looking to him as their master to teach them and instruct them. Now Jesus enlists those disciples as co-workers and sends them out into the ripening harvest fields. He gave them authority over unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal every disease and every affliction. What Jesus had been doing, now they also would do, sent out with his power and under his authority. The specific instructions Jesus gave them were, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without paying. These instructions Jesus gave have sometimes caused consternation in the church. Why did Jesus limit this mission to the lost sheep of the house of Israel? And why does the church today seemingly limit itself to only speaking of God's kingdom? Now, it's true there isn't much leprosy around today, and we may not be clear about that demon possession, but there are certainly plenty of sick and dead people. The answer to those questions begins by recognizing that Matthew repeatedly says that this commission Jesus gives is to the 12. He called his 12 disciples and gave them authority. And then Jesus gave these 12 instructions. As we heard in the gospel last Sunday, even for those apostles, the limitation of going only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel was just a temporary matter. Before long, the scope of the sending would encompass all nations. With respect to miraculous powers, it was the 12 to whom Jesus was speaking. As Lord of the harvest, he sent them out with special authority. This isn't something he gave to all of his followers, even in that day. And he certainly never promised that all of his people of all time would have powers to heal or to raise the dead. What he has commissioned his church to do, though, that is the work that he has entrusted also to you and to me, is to make disciples by baptizing and by teaching people to treasure and trust everything he has said. What is certainly true for us, as it was for his disciples, is that Jesus wants us to share his compassion with the desperate and confused and despairing people in our lives. The harvest is still plentiful today. Many people know that there's something missing in their lives. They just don't know yet that Jesus is the only perfect fit to fill that void. By God's grace, he has filled that emptiness in your life. You received without paying. Now he calls you to also give without paying. To give Jesus to the relative or friend or neighbor who is wandering through life harassed and helpless, still needing to be brought to the Good Shepherd. Where should you start? Well, exactly where Jesus told his disciples to start. Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Pray that God would provide someone to reach each lost and struggling soul, and trust that he will answer your prayer. Perhaps even, as he did with the disciples, through your words and actions in his name. In Jesus' name. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.